Bruton Parish Church was the first important public building in Williamsburg. The first brick church was built in 1683. The present structure was completed in 1715. This beautiful steeple, reaching heavenward, was the heart of the colonial Williamsburg, and it still is today. As the largest parish in colonial Virginia, Bruton Parish became the leading church in the colony. Along with the newly chartered College of William and Mary, its existence was a key reason why the decision was made in 1699 to move the capital of Virginia from Jamestown to Williamsburg. During colonial times, the royal governor sat in an ornate canopied chair surrounded by curtains for privacy and warmth, while his counselors sat in their own special pews. Upstairs in the gallery, the students of William and Mary occupied the prime seats. It is hard for us today to appreciate how important religion was to the colonists of the 18th century in Virginia. They lived in a wilderness inhabited by hostile Indians. Disease and death were close at hand. Williamsburg citizens didn't think they were going to live much past 40 years. On Sundays, farm life stopped as the people living on farms and plantations between the James and York Rivers piled into their ox carts and carriages to attend church at Bruton Parish. The Anglican Church of England was the official church, and all Virginians were expected to attend regularly. So Bruton Parish Church was the church where the founding fathers of Virginia worshipped. No other church in America can claim such a historically important congregation. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, George Wythe, George Mason, Peyton Randolph, James Madison, Richard Henry Lee, and James Monroe. All of the founders who attended Bruton Parish, as well as the dissenters at the Presbyterian Meeting House, began their journey to revolution with an assertion of freedom of conscience. This meant the freedom to examine and judge for themselves. They believed government should not oppress a person's God-given free will and rights. America's colonists knew from Scripture of Herod, Jezebel, and Pharaoh that even though government exists to preserve liberty, it often is freedom's destroyer. They knew from the Magna Carta and from the Glorious Revolution of 1688 that Englishmen had to resist such tyranny at the point of a sword. So when after 150 years of benign neglect of its American colonies, the Parliament and George III began in the 1760s to tax them without their consent, the colonists protested loudly against being denied their rights as Englishmen. As the capital of Virginia, Williamsburg became the center of this resistance. Patrick Henry, the voice of the revolution, spoke out for liberty and rebellion, first in Williamsburg as a new member of the House of Burgesses in 1765. Thomas Jefferson, the pen of the revolution, was introduced to the ideas of liberty he expressed in the Declaration of Independence by his teacher George Wythe while studying at William and Mary. George Washington, the sword of the Revolution, was honored for his heroics in the French and Indian War by the House of Burgesses in 1763. Soon thereafter, he was elected to the House of Burgesses, where he spoke out forcefully and often against George III's tyrannical taxes. In 1780, he planned his siege of Yorktown while staying at the George Wythe House. In conclusion, it was here in Williamsburg that Virginians of extraordinary character, merit, and intelligence were brought together by God's plan to make a revolution. How well these leaders reflected the personal qualities the British parliamentarian and conservative Edmund Burke thought important for those who aspire to power: humility, modesty, and sense of public duty. After the revolution, at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the founders imposed strict limits on the government with the Constitution. Patrick Henry said the Constitution that James Madison helped to create is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people, it is an instrument for the people to restrain the government, lest it come to dominate our lives and interests. The Constitution restrains the government from denying its citizens the freedom to prosper from hard work, to speak out in the public square, and to worship as each sees fit. Capitalism elected representative government, and individual rights are the hallmarks of the limited government bestowed on America by the Constitution. George Washington did not need the adulation of the crowds nor the aphrodisiac of personal power. His heart had been transformed to seek a greater glory, not of this world. Yet he knew in the future demagogues would covet the cheers of the crowd and seek to subvert the liberty guaranteed by the Constitution. In his first State of the Union address, Washington said the only real safeguard against an overreaching government was to, quote, teach the people themselves to know and to value their own rights, to discern and provide against invasions of them, unquote. In short, we must educate our children to be hardworking, self-reliant individuals who recognize God's providential hand in this country's founding and the great personal sacrifice made by our illustrious founders.
That music signals the end of our tour on rediscovering the Christian roots of the American Revolution in Colonial Williamsburg. From your current location, you may either return to your car back toward the Capitol or head to Merchant Square. It is a charming shopping area with excellent restaurants. The College of William and Mary beckons just beyond Merchant Square and is worth a visit, especially for families with college-bound children. Enjoy the rest of your visit to Colonial Williamsburg, where God's providential hand created a new nation out of revolution. And please let us have your comments and suggestions by emailing christianroots@aol.com. This podcast was written by David Hemphill and narrated by Tom Moore with Carrie Hemphill. It was produced by Michael Lemley of World Productions.